Good morning. I should put my watch started so I know when to stop. Find my glasses in case I need that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for this opportunity we have together to listen to your word, to study your word. And thank you for the promise we have that where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be in our midst. We pray that you will bless this time together now. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you know, I have been visiting chiropractors a lot the last 2 weeks. And this morning, as I was to put my tie on, I was a bit hesitating, as I know there's no chiropractor to find tomorrow. So I had to be careful not to make it too tight. We have known you guys now for, most of you at least, since 2002. And I have seen there is a little change in dress code these years. And God bless you. I'm not saying this to point any fingers, okay? It's just that when there is visitors coming, it's good for them to find there is people who wear suit and tie and people who do not wear suit and tie so that we all can fit in. And so I believe that freedom is good to have. Now, we know that God has given us a frame. And that frame is called modesty. And now, I haven't found any verse in the Bible that says that thou shalt put on a tie when you come together. So we have that freedom, okay? If you want to wear it, good. And God bless you. And that might be a help to someone who come too. And we have the freedom. And if you don't wear it, that's fine too. You know, legalism, that is something that the rules we make up that we don't find in the Bible. And we don't want to be legalistic in any way. Now, this was a kind of strange opening, but it kind of ties into what I'm going to say this morning. So I'd like to share with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just so that you know, there is nobody who asked me to preach from that chapter. No elders who told me, well, we have a need here, please, no. And that's good. It's always best for a preacher to not to know anything about assembly when he come to preach, so that the Holy Spirit can be the one who guide. And this chapter, as you all know, it's talking about the head covering and the headship. And I'm not here to point any fingers to anyone, not to those who do not wear a head covering, and not to those who wear it maybe unwillingly or just because everybody else do it. I'm here to try to help you to see why and when. And it's the Holy Spirit who can convict us of those truths. Let's read there from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. initiate me just as I also initiate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. This verse 2, there is a now I praise you. If you flip the next page, we see on verse 17, it says, I do not praise you. So there's a change there from verse 17. We'll come back to that later. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I deliver them to you. Now, as we read the following verses from verse 3 and down, I'd like you to think, which of these verses are timeless truth? And if you write in your Bible, you can put TT, timeless truth, behind the verse. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. It's a timeless truth, isn't it? Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonor his head. Which means that if a man is praying or prophesying with, let's say, a cap. Then he is dishonoring his head. And who is his head? That's Christ. I once saw a Bible teacher, actually, who was praying up front. I was in the class, the Bible school, praying with a cap on his head. And the Bible said that's dishonoring to Christ. Verse 5, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. And we see from the context here that her head, that is her husband. So it's a dishonor to her husband if she pray or prophesied with her head uncovered. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. Now, some has a problem with these things, and I understand. Because here it says that a woman, if she is praying or prophesying, and then a few chapters later back in chapter 14, we read that the woman is supposed to be silent. So how does this all fit together? We'll come back to that. For if a woman, verse 6, if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. Verse 8. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Verse 9. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Excuse me. Now, if you look at the verse from verse 3 till verse 9, then verse 3 can be like the heading for that section. I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And then, for this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. Now, if you think of God and Christ, who is more important? They have the same importance, right? They are one. And if you think of the wife and the husband, they're equal in importance too, but different task, or God has designed different things for a man and a woman. And these things are pearls, of course, that it's only the spiritual who understand that. The world cannot understand these things. And a verse like, let's say verse 8, for man is not from woman, but woman from man. The world doesn't receive those truth, of course. So, it's talking about headship. And it says, for this reason. And we know that when the apostle is basing his conclusion on creation, he goes back to the garden, then we have no right whatsoever to change that. Those principles applies in the whole church age. There is no change whatsoever in God's plan. It's not like wearing a tie. That's a different story. But this is something else. And we will look more at that. Now, verse 10 is a key verse as well. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Now, let's go back 6,000 years, Genesis chapter 3. And we are in the Garden of Eden. God placed these two, Adam and Eve, in this beautiful garden. And there were hundreds or maybe thousands of delicious trees to eat, delicious fruit. But there was also Satan. And he said, has God indeed said, Genesis 3:1, has God indeed said? And you know what? We hear that voice today, don't we? Has God said? And we need to recognize that voice. It is not from God. It is from Satan, our enemy. And as these walk in this beautiful garden, then they have an audience. We think of Adam and Eve and the serpent. But we can be pretty sure that they have a large audience. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Or Ephesians chapter 6, actually. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is the audience who are watching what took place in the Garden of Eden. The hosts of wickedness. Not only the bad angels, of course, not only the fallen angels, but also God's angels. And as they're watching what's going on, some of them, maybe they start talking, and then, well, this is, we don't know, of course, but maybe some of them will call Gabriel or Michael, let him know, hey, look. And Michael look down and they see and wonder what on earth is going on. Maybe that's where the expression came from. As they see that God's word is not respected. Eve is taking leadership. She took off the fruit. Before I used to say she took off the apple, but the Bible doesn't say apple. She took off the fruit. And she gave her husband, she gave Adam. Can you imagine the reaction in heaven when that happened? I don't know if angels can cry, probably not. But if they would, or if they could, they would, I'm sure. At least their jaws dropped. Didn't Adam tell his wife? Didn't God tell Adam about this? Yes. But now the woman took leadership. She took of the tree, the fruit, the tree that they were not supposed even to touch. And that's how sin entered the world. Now, we are back in Listowel in 2015. Do we have a host of wickedness watching us today? I think so. God's angels are watching, and I'm pretty sure that the bad angels, the demons, are watching too. Do we know why God said that the woman should cover her head? I'm pretty sure Satan knows why. And if you do it, he hates you. He hates all believers, but if you wear a head covering, he hates you even more. He hates everything that God wants. But it's pleasing to the Lord. First Corinthians 11 again, verse 10. I said this is a key verse, and it is. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. Now, if Eve in the garden had a head covering, Let's imagine that, even that wasn't at that time, but if she had, then the angels would probably be relaxed. Now, if a woman today chooses to submit and to wear a head covering, I believe that this verse tells us that the angels, they like that. Because of the angels. Do we have angels in 2015? Of course we have. So this is not something cultural. It's TT, a timeless truth. Now, some have problem with this verse because, you know, it says that the woman should cover her head if she pray and prophesies. And in chapter 14, it says that she should be silent. So how does this actually apply? The key here is symbol. There is three symbols given to the church. It's the breaking of bread, the bread and the wine. That's one symbol. Then we have the water baptism. That's a symbol of what took place the day we got saved. Then we have the head covering. It's a symbol that the woman is submitting to authority. And it goes a lot further than just being in submission to men. But because we know from Ephesians 5, let's turn there for a little bit. Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5, 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery. There is a host of wickedness watching us here. And if you wear a head covering, you are preaching and you are teaching in silence. When we came here for first time in 2002, by the way, did I ever tell you how we found Listowel Bible Chapel? Jake asked me when he was in Norway, and I told him. Well, we were up in New Tribes. We were given a list of names of churches, I don't know how many, 30 maybe. And I told Evelyn, I took the bullpen, I took the pen, and then I said, Evelyn, you say stop. Okay. Stop. Listowel Bible Chapel, where's that? A lot of consequences, right? Thinking of going to Philippines to serve the Lord. But the Lord directed us in a different way. back to Norway. We got to know more about church principles the day we entered this house. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 became alive to us. Woman preaching in silence. So is head covering important? Yes. And you know, some people, they think, well, we want a more modern church, don't we? We want, you know, like the world. Or like others. Well, no. We hear the voice from the Old Testament. Give us a king. We want to be like others. Do we hear the call to be different? Do we hear the call to follow him? His word, whatever it tells us. Now, let's look more at this chapter now, 1 Corinthians 11. It says there that in verse 5, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, which is her husband, for that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. So, as I said, many have a problem here. There are different interpretations of this passage. Some say that, well, there was two errors in this church. One, the woman were praying and prophesying without head covering. The problem was there was no head covering. And number two, they spoke. And like, you know, speeding to a red traffic light. Two errors. And I fully respect those who have that interpretation, and I might be wrong, but for me, I feel it is a better way to understand this, that there is a change in verse 17. As I said, chapter 11, verse 2, now I praise you. And when we come to verse 17, I do not praise you. And as we look from verse 17, we see that there are, when you come together, and we have in this chapter only, we have five when you come together. Verse 17, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Verse 18, when you come together as a church. Verse 20, when you come together in one place. Verse 33, when you come together to eat. Verse 34, lest you come together for judgment. And this come together, it goes all the way till the end of chapter 14. 14:26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. So it seems like the first 16 verses has to do with outside the church. And from verse 17, when they come together. Now let's think, let's say there's a church with 30 believers. Let's say it's our house. And we meet together. We don't have that many who come for a Bible study, but let's say there's 30 then. And we come together on Sundays. And let's say there are elders, three elders. Then we are gathered together. And 1 Corinthians 14, 34, 35 applies. The woman should be in silent. Now, that's, let's say, on a Thursday or Wednesday, on a Sunday. But let's say on Friday, Ellen and I, we invite one of them to come to our place for prayer, sharing from the Bible. It's the same house, okay? So forget about a house, because the house has nothing to do with church, of course. The believers is the church. So then we are together, four of us. We pray. And that's where I think this verse applies. I think the woman can pray then when we are together, a small group. But she has to cover her head. That's what it says here. Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered is under her head. Now, there is one more problem here. Because we don't have any clear verse that tells us that when you come together as a church, that you shall cover your head. And so many people, they say, oh, well, it doesn't say so. Well, then, verse 10 is the key to understand this. It's talking about a symbol of authority. So the question is, when is it necessary for a woman to have that symbol on her head? A symbol of being in submission to male leadership. I believe it applies when we are together. And it applies when four of us meet for prayer as well. But when Evelyn drive down to the store to pick up some milk, I don't see it applies. Some do, and I don't blame you. It's between you and God. If you have faith, keep it for yourself. It's better to wear it too much than too little, I think. So, but I think this is the answer to that problem many have. They don't find it in the Bible that when you are in the church, you should cover your head. But it's good to have that symbol of being under authority. We said that the angels, they are watching us. And in the same chapter, verse 20, let me see here. That's the breaking of the bread. 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. If you have your pencil, you can put under the word proclaim. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This is, of course, talking about the breaking of bread. But who do we proclaim to when we break the bread and we drink the wine? We proclaim to people, of course, but we proclaim to the spirit world as well. They are watching us. You can be sure. So, for a woman to cover her head, wow. That is something. Proclaiming, being under submission, being a picture of the church in submission to Christ. That's wonderful. Wonderful. How about at a conference? Some will say that, well, at the conference we don't have elders. It's not a church. But is there a need when a group of believers are gathered together to listen to the Word of God, to praise Him? Is there a need for a woman to have that symbol on her head? That's what I have to decide. And I think there is. So forget about the church, where if to look for, you know, if it says in the church, but remember, is there a need for you to have that symbol on your head? Teaching and preaching. So we see that from verse 17, there is a change. Paul is beginning to talk about when they come together. And that lasts till chapter 14. And we read from verse 33. 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You know, sometimes we are more, we have more wisdom than God, right? Do we? Of course not. But the way we think, or the way how we make decisions sometimes, looks like we have more wisdom than God. And I started out with this, with it talking about a tie, that how a new person who comes into the church, that he can feel comfortable, but have this variety of, you know, dress code. If we apply that principle to the head covering, then we will say, well, you know, we shouldn't wear a head covering, because then when they come in, they will be afraid, you know. They will back off. But then we are using human reasoning. We need to, first of all, serve the Lord. All other things has to follow. Fourteen thirty-four. Let your woman keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. So this is something that the world cannot accept. This is nonsense to the world. And as the church is entering, as the world is entering the church, things tend to change. There is something called emerging or emerging church or something like that. And the thought is that we have to make it so easy as possible for people to come to the churches. We need to use a music style that they are used to and so forth. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28-29. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Future challenges. This is written almost 2,000 years ago. And we see how what's going on today. And do we hear the call from God to be different? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. Thank you for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins, to give us eternal life. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that as we're waiting for you to come back, that we will could be serving you in the way you want us to serve you, to believe everything written in your word and to obey it. Jesus' name. Amen. I said that there was three symbols: water baptism and breaking of bread and the head covering. This evening I'd like to share a little bit about baptism and then show some pictures from the work in Norway. Thank you for listening.